E1.
Number 37A.
We take another chart. And before we start with this flow chart, which is now category 2, of which I was telling at the beginning of this flow charting, I said we can have a second category, and that second category is a category which is always different. Therefore, those flow charts which we make now and tomorrow are flow charts which you really should tear up at once and put it away, because they never recur anymore in being. They only recur once and no more. So the danger would be if you would take those flow charts and go over them again and again and again. This would be going against the divine principle that never repeats itself. The charts which we have been doing up to now, those three, were in the category 1, which I said they are, so to say, our exercises, fundamental exercises, which are fundamental. Just as somebody who plays the piano may make those finger exercises, may go up the scale and down the scale. This is legitimate. But he doesn't go all his life up and down the scale. Once he has a certain ability and excellency in handling those scales, he will use those scales for infinite variation of playing that piano. Now, practice is that way, because every case is a unique case, has no antecedent, has no model according to which we can repeat it and will never recur again. So what we are doing is in a way something very dangerous in teaching, namely that there may be a tendency to say, well, what Max has been saying about treatment on this case and that case, that's the way I'm going to do it also. And that would be wrong, and I tell you why. And so we must lay down some fundamental points what treatment is. You see, one point we have to remember is, first, that every case is different. That's the first point we have to remember. And every case is different. Which has the consequence that no treatment is alike. Then you could say, but if no treatment is alike, can I ever give a right treatment? And I would say, naturally. What we need to know is not so much the flow of one single treatment, but the method of how that flow comes about. So the second point is that because every treatment is different, we will always start at a different point in the chart. The starting point may every time be somewhere else within the hole, because we have seen that hole is just like a transparent sphere where each point reflects the other, where there is no beginning in the sphere, no ending in the sphere. So we have the perfect right to start anywhere, and second, or with that second point, to end anywhere. The third point you may ask is, but how do I know where to start? And how do I know when I should stop? And the answer is that both are dictated by one's spiritual state of consciousness at the time of giving a treatment. We may not always be in the same spiritual mood and altitude, and so according to the present moment, something will always hit us first, whatever it is about the case. Somehow something in consciousness will hit us. It can be something positive, it can even be something negative, but something always starts flowing. You can't have somebody telling you on the telephone something and you don't think anything. You will think anything. You may be even be afraid of that case. You may even feel that you can't take the responsibility of that case. So already something starts. But we have seen every argument and every truth has a place within the chart, and therefore has its place value, and therefore shows us right away where we start. So can you see at this point that that which determines where to start is the conscious impact that we get, no matter what it is? And we start right there. And because we now know the whole build-up of being, the whole structure of being, we will turn to that point in the chart which answers that very first motion, whatever that is. That first motion may be within us, oh, what a silly thing if there is only one infinite principle. And you just see that your consciousness is right there, that there is one infinite principle. But your first motion may also be, gosh, this is a tough case. And you have to start with the argument of toughness. But as we know now our laws, we know exactly where those arguments lie within the chart. Now once you have started, then comes another big point, which I really want you to consider, namely, once you have started somewhere in the chart, there is no must in that chart, that you must go from out from there, say, to the next order or to that point which is next to that point. There is no must. In other words, don't try to put the system, which we know as the chart, on a case. That would be wrong. To put the system on the case, quite on the other way around. You should let the thought flow and see where in the system that argument lies. We will see that as we go on. I just first state the method, and perhaps it's not quite clear, that doesn't matter. But as we go on, we'll see it, and then perhaps when we have done some exercises, we come back to it and see what this is meant. So never think you must go from this order to that order, from this level to that level, from this synonymous term to that synonymous term. There is no must anymore. Within that infinite transparency of that sphere, every idea just reflects every other part of that chart. But that which determines where the flow goes in treatment is always the little voice within our consciousness. That gives us the direction of flow. And that little voice within our consciousness can be positive or negative. It can be an angel, and it's positive, and it can be a little devil, that is an argument, a suggestion, and that's treatment. To work with both, to work with the divine idea, and to work according to the suggestion that needs to be met, naturally, through the fact about these suggestions. But it would be wrong to say, I have now a system and I fetter my treatment into a very rigid framework of that system. That would be wrong. Because each idea is different, you must listen to the specific structure of that problem. Therefore, treatment is something you give when you are quiet, when you are alone, when you are alone with the reality of being, when as much as possible your thoughts, your consciousness is at rest, and you can listen. Giving a treatment means listening, and listening means that your thought is shown where to tackle the problem. And it may be one suggestion after the other that needs to be met. It may be one angel after the other talking to you, giving you a higher and higher sense, a more complete sense. Or it may be that both, sometimes the little devil and sometimes the angel within us, are talking. And so they take their turns. Now, in order to show the method, I would have to take a case, an imaginary case. And actually, I would have to speak loud what the angel and the devil are telling me at that very moment. Because each one would handle it differently, because each one would have a different state of consciousness and would handle it from the different stage of consciousness and therefore would have to handle different arguments. So all I can do now is to show the method, nothing else. Okay, shall we try it? So I speak out, say, the problem, and then I just sit here and try to voice, say, what the argument, the negative argument may be, or what my positive spiritual vision may be, and how it flows. And I hope that you will help me to see where you find your answer within the chart. Knowing now our laws, which we have been doing, this should not be very difficult, but I guess if we take a few examples, that will help in developing such a case. So let's take, for instance, the case that, say, somebody comes to us. Now, I have now to take an imaginary case. Somebody comes to me and tells me about a certain situation. I don't even have to say what kind of situation. And it looks very bad. And it looks as if it would be a big thing to handle. And as the patient is telling me that story, could be start completely different. But let's say I listen to this, and within me something always says why I'm listening, that's not true. There's just one truth. Where would my treatment start? Divine science, truth. Huh? Here it would start. I make here a cross or a star. See, within my consciousness, and now I speak loud and you give me the answers. Within my consciousness, I just would sit back and say, no, you can tell me all sorts of lies, all sorts of lies. I know that there is but one truth. And something in me would say, and this is the truth about all truth. My thought would somehow go, right down here and see that that truth is the truth about all the truths. I would say within myself, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. That very situation is the truth and is established in the realm of the real. You must tell me exactly both categories, huh? Absolute Christian science? As science, you see, right here, huh? Well, see, and that truth, you see, which is true about the case I see, is a truth, huh? That exists since time immemorial and it has its perfect solution, And I just rejoice now within myself and see, golly, how beautiful that is. Here he's talking his head off with all those lies, and he doesn't know that the fact about that situation is already fulfilled. Huh? That's truth and love. And something within me rejoices over this and says within me, oh, that's beautiful. That fact is already established in its wholeness, truth and love. And then I say, do I know what that means when a fact is established in wholeness? How whole is a fact? What would you say to that? How whole is a fact?
Christian science, Christianity.
Why?
Because there shows the bigness of the idea.
Shows the bigness of the idea? What did you want to say? You say the same thing? Okay, you see? So you go and say to yourself, if that comes to my mind, you go to Christianity and Christian science because you say, what does it mean that the idea is whole and big? And so within me I would contemplate, and I start contemplating, you watch me. I would perhaps contemplate, and I tell you all the ideas that come up in my mind, and the idea would tell me, yes, because this idea, this fact, or what we said, the form of this idea is complete because it is an idea in principle. It's rooted in principle. Therefore, it's an idea of principle and not my idea. And therefore, because it is of the nature of idea, that idea, sorry, I went too quick, huh? So I go to principle, say, this idea is in principle, fixed in principle, and therefore fills the whole realm of being. See, that idea, therefore, which that patient is not aware of, that solution which the patient is not aware of, is an idea in the whole of being. And something within me says, what is that whole of being? What is meant by the whole of being? and I would have to give an answer. Where would my thought go? If I want to find an answer, what is the whole of being? The word in Christian Science, huh? You see, I said we do not, there is no must that I must go through the whole Christianity order. There is no more must, huh? Thought is so flexible that it goes right over here, huh? And says, this really here is the whole of being, huh? Because principle love, you mean? Or what?
You said you're going to the whole of being.
No, I didn't say I go to the whole of being. I said, but what means the whole of being? I asked for what means the whole of being, not what, where is it? Huh? I said, what means the whole of being? When I came to principle and I said, this solution of which the patient is aware, is not aware of, but of which I am aware of, that this solution in truth and love, huh, is a solution that is established in the realm of the real, in the realm of ideas. And so my thought at that point was asking, but what does it mean, the realm of ideas? What does it mean to have, to be an idea? And so you said, well, then you can go to the Christianity order and say, this idea is an idea in principle. And as an idea in principle, this idea fills the whole realm. You see, that patient thinks that he is in a realm and that in that realm there is something wrong. And so I see, no, the whole idea fills the whole realm of being. And suddenly something in me says, do I know what I mean with the whole realm of being? See? So I have to answer, do I know what means? I ask about the meaning, huh? About the statement, about the definition of the whole of being. And so my thought may go right to the word in Christian Science, it says, there alone I find a complete statement of what the realm of being is, means. There I see, you see, that the realm of being means that it is the realm of mind, of the intelligence of mind, the realm of the infinite substance of spirit, so that that situation is spiritually substantial, it's not flimsy, it's not shadowy, it's substantial, it's really identified, clearly identified in soul, and therefore that idea has within itself the nature of principle, it has the nature of spiritual power, and exists already as life, and is exalted above the whole human problem that that patient is thinking of. And in truth, I see that that realm of the real in which apparently this situation is conscious of its truth and of the true solution, it's conscious of it. And in love, perhaps I see that here is a fulfilled sense of that whole situation. And so I've taken in the meaning of what it means that this problem roams in the real, in the realm of idea. So I have enlarged. Can you see what I have done? I have taken mind here at the point of Christianity and have enlarged it through the whole word order. Through the whole word order. And then my thought may go back, right back to the Christianity order and say, oh yes, that's why this idea has everything what the infinite has too. So, my thought may come to soul in Christianity, in Christian Science, huh? And I begin to see that that very situation has everything what is needed for that situation because it's identified with the infinite. And therefore that situation may reflect through spirit, life, truth and love. So that that idea can, in spite of whatever seems to happen, can support itself in life. That that true idea is conscious of itself as true and right and ideal, in spite of every contrary consciousness of the patient, truth. And that that idea is mothered and protected by love, in spite of all the fear that goes on around about that patient. And so I have centered on the bigness of that idea and see that nothing can harm that idea. And then perhaps something in me says, is that really a power that is mightier than error? Or do I just fool myself with some nice spiritual thought? Or is this what I've been thinking about, a power that can deal with error? And what would you say? And you could go right to the Christ, huh? In Christian Science? Because the Christ here in the whole chart is the only one that is the law of power, huh? The translating power, which says, I can deal with any error. Huh? And so you may go and see, yes, my consciousness, because it is the principal consciousness, has a Christ. And the Christ is always that which takes the whole principle, and then you go through the Christ order right down and have a feeling, yes, that Christ's power is the one and only principle of the universe, and that principle has nothing else in you than through life, truth and love to express itself in a conscious way to save every situation, life, truth and love, and therefore will come to every erroneous situation as the overturning soul and will just oust out everything that does not belong to that situation, spirit, and will jolly well establish the right idea just where the error seems to be, manifestation of mind.